Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
don't get it twisted.
Oh boy. You can't handle the truth. What's up, everybody? Good evening. Welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's the Ron Kelly Show. And it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com. Welcome. Thank you. Shout out to everybody. Myra Ray from across the way at one time anyway. Diana Glenn, Lakeisha Mims, everybody's just crashing in on the set. Welcome. Come on in. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It is on blogtalkradio.com, the ronkellyshow.com. Every Thursday afternoon, or Thursday evening, I should say, 7 p.m. It's me and you. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Back and better than ever. So much to talk about. Oh, my head is about to explode. So much to talk about. Hey, Diana. I'm going to try to do Diana's spot. Today, her business. I'm going to try to put out there for you. Either I'll put it out on the show or I'll put it out on my Facebook page. Either way, you guys get with her. She got some good stuff for you. Okay, a couple minutes past the hour, it's the Ron Kelly Show. And there's so much going on. The midterm's coming up. Oh, man, the 14th Amendment. Trump wants to keep people out of the country. The convoy is on the way. Oh, man, there's so much going on, you know. But, you know, the people... People don't want to talk about racism, you know. And everything is not about racism, you know. Everything, I almost forgot to put my headphones on. Everything is not about racism, okay. But we have to begin to have a conversation about race. Nobody wants to talk about race, you know. Nobody. And people, you call me race baiter and all of this. I'm sure some of you've seen it in some of the exchanges, I should say, that I've done with people on Facebook. And they call me a race baiter because I talk about race. You know, and somebody has to talk about race. This is the problem. Nobody, nobody wants to talk about race. You know, you have to talk about race. Shout out to everybody who joined in with me. But we nobody wants to talk about race, but everything is about race. As I said in the program last week, the first thing you notice about anybody that you meet for the first time, if you're being introduced to somebody, you said bumped into somebody in bus station, train, in a party, whatever the case may be, the first thing you notice about the person is that about that person is their race. You know, but nobody wants to talk about race. I've been called racist and race baiter and all this stuff because on my show, you know, not the whole show. But I do talk about race. It's important that we start talking about race because, you know, people have to, as long as we don't talk about it, nothing's ever going to be done about it. So we want to, you know, be quiet, not talk about race. As some of you guys out there who be hitting me up on Facebook, you know, don't talk about race. Let's act like it doesn't exist. Don't talk about it. And the problem is that we don't talk about it. You know, white folks have to confront black folks and vice versa, and we have to tell each other what we don't like about each other, what our problems are. Maybe if we came together and started talking about it, we might be able to solve some things. You know, so, yeah, there are those who call me names on social media and say I'm a race baiter. I'm not a race baiter. I just keep it real, and I talk about what I believe that we need to talk about. You see, because there's a difference between a talk show host and a radio personality. Talk show host just talks about whatever they're talking about. And you don't see any of them. It's just information. The radio personality, like me, shows my personality, you know. And see, it's me that holds the show together. When you're a radio personality, it's your personality that keeps the show going. When you're a talk radio host, a talk show host, it's just more information, and nobody ever gets to see who you are. See, because I'm a radio personality, you'll get to see who I am. And if you're wondering where I'm getting these great ties from, this here, I have this one on last week. This one from the Cowboys. Not from the Cowboys. This one was made by the Cowboys. You know, you just hit me up with a text message. Those of you who have my phone number, if you don't, hit me up on my Facebook page, and I'll tell you where you can get one of these ties. Now, this is the Cowboys tie, but they do have the Steelers. They have the Jets. Like, whatever team that you, you know, show your true colors, whatever team that you like, you know, brothers, you can get a tie. And it comes with a, I don't have it in front of me, but it comes with a pocket square, too. So if you want to know where I got this and this beautiful tie, hit me up on my hit me up on my Facebook page, and I'll let you know where I got it from. Okay, we got a jam-packed show tonight. Let me start with this. You know, the midterm's coming up, and everybody, you know, Oprah's out there, and President Obama, Trump is going all over the place, only in the white neighborhoods. And that's true. It's not racist. I mean, that's true. He's only going in the white neighborhoods. So we got people crisscrossing the country. Trump, you know, Vice President Biden, Obama, Oprah, all these people are coming out and crisscrossing the country trying to drum up support for some of these candidates. You know, and later I'm going to talk about the 14th Amendment, and I'm going to talk about why the 14th Amendment was established and why I may be with Trump on this one. Yeah, believe it or not, I may be with Trump on this one. Shout out to Silas Lee. What's up, brother? I may be with Trump on the 14th Amendment. I may be on Trump with birthright citizenship. I just, surprise, I might be with Trump on it. I'll explain that to you a little bit later on. And also, the governor's race in Georgia is getting pretty contentious. You know, you have the sister Stacey Abrams running against the man who was the Secretary of State. And I'll talk to you about Georgia voter registration law and how it affects black folks. I'll talk to you about that and the sham that's being perpetrated over there in Georgia, although she's still, it's still, you know, even Fox News is saying that race is a toss-up. So I'll talk to you a little bit about voter suppression law, voter laws in Georgia, and voter suppression and what's going on over there in Georgia and all across the country. And also, I'll talk to you, we'll talk a little bit later on about the, you know, the shootings. Peace be upon the folks, the 11 parishioners of the synagogue who were gunned down by this sadistic killer in Pittsburgh just Saturday, I believe it was. And we're also, and the other story that's not getting a whole lot of traction is the Kroger's supermarket killings with the two African Americans, two elderly folks. One was 66, I believe, the other one was 67. A man and a woman were not together at the supermarket. They were gunned down by this Caucasian individual. Shout out to Bunny McKnight. Shout out to Jazzy Jess. I'm going to talk to you a little bit later on about all of this stuff, and I'm going to talk to you about this Kroger supermarket killing. It's not getting a lot of traction, and I'm not saying that it's bias or it's racism, but that killing of the two African-Americans, shout out to Michael Bishop, the killing of the two African-Americans at the Kroger supermarket, and shout out to Diana Glenn, who says, what about the two Kroger people that were killed as well? Right, that's a story that's not getting a whole lot of traction, the killing of the two African-Americans by the white man. And again, this isn't a white and black. There's a lot of white people listening to the show, by the way. I know, because I can see the ratings. And, you know, we're going to talk about that, and because nobody's talking about that. There's very little, you know, Jesse, you get a little bit of a little sound bite of that every now and again, but the two African Americans, and it could have been a worse tragedy because the security guard who was on duty at the time, the man who shot the two people in the Kroger supermarket had tried to get into this church. He tried to get into the church, and it's a good thing that the security guard was at his post where they had cameras all over the place. And they saw this man approaching. He was on CNN, I believe it was. They had the gentleman on CNN. And he saw the man approaching. And just thank goodness that he spotted the man. And they locked the doors so the man couldn't get into the church. The, you know, the Caucasian man who shot the two people at Kroger's, they tried prior to minutes before getting into going to Kroger's and killing those two people, he tried to get into the black church. Yes, tried to get into the black church. But the man on duty, thank goodness, he was paying attention, doing his job, and the man could not get into the church. So that's when he went over to Kroger's. I guess he figured there'd be some of us in a supermarket. I don't mean to make light of this, but he figured some of us would be in a supermarket. So he goes into the supermarket, and he finds two African-Americans, and he kills them. And after that, he was confronted by a Caucasian man who was armed. He wasn't a police officer, but he was in that Kentucky. You know, Kentucky has better laws than we do here in New Jersey. In Kentucky, you can carry a gun to protect yourself. In New Jersey, you have to just stand out there and be a sitting duck like we are here, because the police are woefully inadequate in regards to taking care of us. So I'm going into a rant about gun violence, which I will do a little bit later on. But anyway, he confronts the white man. The person who confronts him, he surrenders to the person who confronted him. And he said to the man, "I'm not going to shoot you because whites don't kill whites." This is what the man allegedly said to the other man. So, you know, so we'll talk about all of that. And for those of you who came a little bit late, you know, let me reset the show. I did talk a little bit about racism and how folks don't want to talk about racism. They call me all kinds of names. I'm a race baiter. I'm a race hater. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. You know, and race is something that we're going to be stuck with forever. There's not going to be a whole, black people are not going to be a whole, you know, overrun the country like some folks think. White folks are a minority at this point right now, and I guess that's why the alarm bells are going off. But we'll talk about, I'll get back to that, and I'll touch on some of that stuff in a few minutes. Right now it's 15 minutes past the hour, and you are listening to the Ron Kelly show. So we have the midterms. What did I say? I was going to think about it. They have the midterms coming up. You know, I'll get to the 14th Amendment, and I'll tell you why the 14th Amendment was created in the first place, and why I may be with Trump on this one. I just may be. So I'll talk about that, and I'll talk about more about the supermarket shootings and about voter suppression in Georgia. So let me start with this. So the midterms are coming up. You know, this is an exciting time for me. You know, most people don't pay attention to politics. I mean, I do. And it's interesting. It's an interesting time for me because, you know, I'm a political analyst, and I am interested in this type of stuff. And the midterms are important because right now we don't have a balance of power. You got a Republican president, a Republican-led Senate, and a Republican Congress. So there's no balance of power. So the Democrats are toothless right now. They have no bite. All they have is their bark is a lot bigger than their bite. And this is why the midterms are so important, because there's no balance of power. You have one party that's in charge of everything. You know, because like when Obama was president, he couldn't get his Supreme Court justice. Couldn't even get a meeting. Couldn't even get him before the Judiciary Committee because the Senate Majority Leader said no. More powerful even than the President. Said no. The President couldn't do nothing. So Merrick Garland, who was the Supreme Court Justice, just slid it off into the wild blue yonder. So this is why the midterms are important, because we don't have a balance of power right now. It's all Republican. The House, the Senate, the president, and they're just doing what they want to do. They're not even, you know, they're just doing what they want to do. And they're just steamrolling over the Democrats. And the Democrats don't have, or they can holler all they want, like with this Kavanaugh thing. If you have to go, okay, Jazzy, yeah, no. If anybody you have to go, just go. You know, I appreciate you mentioning it to me. I see who comes on, but I really can't see who leaves. But, you know, I understand that, you know, the people on the radio mostly listen to the show for a whole hour, but I understand it. be like, I'll sit here and look at me when there's other stuff. It's must-see TV tonight. Well, that's why I started to show a little bit earlier before Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder and all this other stuff comes on, because I know I'll be really even have any watchers or listeners. But I appreciate you saying something, but it's fine. You know, don't worry about it. You can always go to Jazzy Jess. You can always go to my you can go on my Facebook page, and if you want to see the show, because every show is posted to my Facebook page in the video section. So if you ever want to see the show that you missed, you can go to my Facebook page and check out any of the videos. That's where they go after I come off the air. And also, if you can't watch, you can go to my archive at blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show, and you can check out my podcast there as well. Shout out to Mike Mazak. So we have these midterms going on. It's very important that everybody gets out and votes. I'm a political junkie, but you know, I still understand what politics and what they stand for. And you know, a lot of us say, oh well, it'll never help me. And you know, in some cases it doesn't. You know, in some cases it doesn't. And I don't feel like, I mean, there was a time where I wouldn't vote because I didn't feel like, you know, me just doing my civic duty was going to help anything. But just because I feel good about voting, but what's in it for me? But I would suggest to everyone that you go out and vote for the person of your choice, whether it's Republican or Democrat. Vote your conscience. That's what you do. You know, vote your conscience. Anyway, it's I gotta keep track of the time here. Okay, all right, it's break time. Take a quick break. And we'll come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Well, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls, speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun, Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
All right, we are back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Lamont Gates. Shout out to Lamont Gates. Anyway, so, you know, and I'm surprised a lot of people, you know, I've gotten some behind the scenes messages like, what, you're down with Trump? And no, I'm not down with Trump, but, you know, let me start the segment with this. 14th Amendment. Now, Trump. The 14th Amendment was an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. It was ratified in 1868, 200 and some odd years ago, defining national citizenship and forbidding the states to restrict the basic rights of persons and other citizens. Now, the 14th Amendment was created for the slaves. 14th Amendment was created for the slaves. That's what it was created for, because slaves weren't considered to be American citizens. I mean, you can't say a cow was a citizen, and back in that day, black folks were considered property. So the 14th Amendment was created so that so black folks, because you notice that the amendment says, who are in the, within the jurisdiction of the United States, that you will be considered a citizen. Now, that was, now, because the slave, as I said, the slaves were considered a citizen, and the children of slaves were not considered citizens either. And that's why the 14th Amendment was created, so that slave owners or folks folks who would rather things go back to the way they were, national citizenship forbidding the states to restrict the basic rights of citizens or other persons. So they had to, so the 14th Amendment, after the slaves were freed, you had to have a 14th Amendment, and the 14th Amendment basically protected the slaves. And so the slaves were made into citizens once they were free, because once they were free, they were no longer considered as cattle or property. So the 14th Amendment was created for slaves and slave children. So Trump does have a point with this birthright citizenship, because it wasn't created for what it's being used for now. You know, where folks come here and have babies to gain the privileges and the services of this great country. You see, and, you know, it is not just poor people that come here to make their kids American citizens. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's not just poor people. In China, in Asia, since in Asia, it's like a, it's a badge of honor to have a child born in America. It's like a, you know, it's like a it's trendy. It's like a, having a Range Rover or something like that. This is how the Chinese and folks in Japan feel about American citizenship, because they have glossy magazines, and they have baby tours where when you get close to your baby's birth time, you come to America and have your baby on American soil, and then they go back home. They have no interest in being here. You know, so these are not poor people. These are people of means. These are people of wealth who come here. They have hotels especially for it. Out in California, they have hotels where people who are on these baby tours stay. And you have travel agents in China and in Asia who, yeah, baby tours. Have your baby come to be America. Just be in America at the time that your baby's about to be born. Come here. And they don't come to stay. They don't want anything from us. They just want their babies to be born in America. Like I said, it's an image thing. It's like having a Range Rover or BMW. Yeah, that's what it's about. Have your baby here. So this is what's the 14th Amendment. Was not created for people just to come here and have their babies on American soil and claim American citizenship. Because what's happened was, as he said, the chain citizenship, where somebody comes here illegally and has a baby, and then the baby grows up and the baby can sponsor them. Oh no, you know, yeah, you know what? I think that Trump should stop that. I think he should. I know a lot of people, I mean, I've already heard it from several people, but I think that he should stop that, because that's not what the 14th Amendment was for. It wasn't for people to come here illegally, have babies, and then suck up the system. It wasn't made for that. It was made for the slaves. It was made to repatriate slaves, make slaves American citizens. That's what it was for, and the families of slaves. That's what it was for. It wasn't meant for people to come here from other countries, have their baby, and then utilize our system to further themselves. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who says the Declaration of Independence welcomes immigrants in its document. They saw immigration as strengthening their states. The 14th Amendment clearly tells us whoever is born on the soil is legal. The difference is back then they only wanted white immigrants. Now, well, you know what? Shout out to Lamont Gates for that. But it was created for the slaves. It was created for the slaves. Now, whatever else they use it for, they use it for. But it was created for the slaves. It's an amendment to the United States Constitution adopted in 1868. It was primarily concerned with details of reintegrating reintegrating the southern states after the Civil War and defining some of the rights of recently freed slaves, Lamont Gates. The first section of the amendment, however, was to revolutionize federalism. It stated that no state could deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Gradually, the Supreme Court interpreted the amendment to mean that the guarantees of the Bill of Rights apply to the states as well as to the national government. But it says here, it was primarily concerned with details of reintegrating the southern states after the Civil War, as I said earlier, and defining some of the rights of recently freed slaves. That was the spirit, Lamont Gates. That was the spirit of that law. It was created after the Civil War, as I said. I hadn't even read that yet, but I knew it was after the Civil War. That's when that amendment was created, after the Civil War, to reintegrate slaves, because slaves were not considered people back at that time. They were considered cattle or a chair or a couch or, you know, or a barn, you know, just as property. They had no rights whatsoever. So the 14th Amendment sought to remedy that. I mean, it didn't, because you know, to 2018, I'm still looking for the rights. But this is how it went down. So it was created for slaves. It wasn't created for folks to come here and use the system. Shout out to Diana Glenn, who says, I'm sure that Trump does not know any of that information of why the 14th Amendment was made. You know what? He probably does. I mean, that's probably not what he's caring about, but he probably does know. You know, but I think he's right. I know some of y'all are going to be, you know, looking at me both sides of the neck or whatever, but I think he's right. And I don't think that people should be able to just come in. Because what happens when people come here? Who pays the tab? Now, people think, oh, the government pays the tab. Who pays the government's tab? Who? Some of y'all get money back because you don't make nothing. You know what I'm saying? But some of those of us who make money, like myself, have to pay every year. You know, and I was behind a lady. I was in a WIC. I never forget. I was in a supermarket. This was years ago. I was in a supermarket and the lady was there, and, you know, I always hate to get behind somebody with WIC because they got to separate everything. It can only be Cheerios without the maple syrup Cheerios. They got to be plain. The milk got to be a certain container, you know, and the Pampers have to be no frills, whatever the case may be. And I'm behind this lady, and she's getting the WIC cards out. And if she opens a wallet, she has more credit cards in her wallet than I do. And I got a lot of credit cards, unfortunately. I need to get rid of some of them. And she had more credit cards than I do. And I'm like, I'm the one that's putting the bill for this WIC and all of this stuff. I'm putting the bill for that. If you have a job and you're making, you know, even if you don't make a lot of money, you're still putting the bill for that. You know, so that Trump is right. The 14th Amendment is being abused. It's being abused by folks who come here, have their babies, and then start feeding off the system. So there's nothing racist about that. And I wouldn't say Trump is a racist. I think he's a nationalist. He's a separatist. Because just because a person, you know, I wouldn't say he was a racist. Now, I am, shout out to Diana Glenn, I am being nice. The 14th Amendment was made for black folks, for slaves to integrate into American society. That's what it was made for, to make people make, you know, the way they worded it, it was to make black folks whole, to make recently freed slaves into citizens and their children citizens. That's what it was for. It wasn't for people coming from Guatemala and wherever else, in Colombia and Mexico or whatever. It was, or China, people in Asia. You know, it wasn't meant for that. Because like I said earlier, people came in from Asia. People come from Asia, have the baby, and go, but they have no interest in living in America. They're happy where they are, and they have money and everything. But they come here when it's around time, within a week or so of their due date, they come to America, have the baby, and they go back home. They may never come back to America. But like I said, it's trendy for some people in some societies, it's trendy for them to have a baby on American soil. It's like, you know, again, like a Range Rover or Mercedes-Benz. It's trendy. Oh, my son is born in America. Oh, really? You know, stick my chest out. Yeah, I got an American kid. But it wasn't meant for what it's being used for today. So I give, Trump is right. Trump is right. And Trump, you know, and see, and I, there's some things that Trump, and I'm not taking Kanye West's place, but there are some things that Trump has done that, that have been good. I mean, he's absolutely nuts. He has the self-awareness of a groundhog, but there are some things that he's done that make sense. And this makes sense. This makes sense. Because we can't take on the whole world. And I am being nice. I am being nice. Because I look every week and I get hundreds of dollars just for FICA alone. I look at like $200 or $300 just for federal income tax alone. Never mind everything else. And I'm looking at my check every week. I'm like, man. So, you know, that's the 14th Amendment was not made for in the anchor baby stuff. That I don't think that should be going down either. Shout out to Lamont Gates, who says, I think anchors should remain citizens as well as those on visas who have worked and benefited our country. Trust me, they will benefit things like Social Security in the long run. As for non-citizens entering the country and walking in, they must be turned back and only accepted on visa. Your personal, my personal view. You're absolutely 100% right. Lamont Gates, that's my personal view, and that is a view of the President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, who also feels that people should be turned away. And they should. They should not. I know I have a lot of Latino friends, and they're going to be like, man, what's up with you? This is what it is. It wasn't meant for folks to come here and have babies and drain the system. It wasn't meant for that. It wasn't meant for that. That was meant for us. That was meant for black folk. Back in the day when we became American, when we were released from slavery. And the Constitution, because it was a constitutional amendment that we were not people. The Constitution said that we were property. So the Constitution had to be amended to show that we were no longer property, that we were American citizens. And that's what the 14th Amendment was created for. And now, I think that Trump, like I said, he's like a bull in the china shop, you know, no decorum whatsoever. But he may be right on this one. He may be right. You see, because he said a lot of things that Obama would never say. I got to be presidential. You know, but there's some things that he has said that needed to be said. Not everything. I mean, I think he's a low class and all of that stuff. High money, but low class. But he said things that needed to be said that people were afraid to say. Like me, I say things that need to be said. Now, am I going to vote for Trump? No. And do I support him? No. But there are some things that he has done that I approve of. Because I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I'm an independent. I don't consider myself from either side. So I think that there are some things that he has done that have worked. But I still, I don't like him. Though. Shout out to Tuffy Alley. Yeah, so, you know, people, you know, we can't take on the whole world. The United States of America can't take on the whole world. Some people don't want to come here. A lot of people are perfectly fine where they are. You know, but it's been so easy to come here on, you know, through democratic rule. It's been so easy. People just running and climbing the fences, coming on in. And I think it should be stopped. Yeah, I think it should be stopped. And I think that people should come in the right way. Get your visa. Yeah, look, there's tyranny and murder and stuff going on here. You know, there's poverty, there's all, you know, whatever people are trying to escape from, the same thing is going on here. Trust me. Gangs in the church without somebody shooting you. Go to the supermarket, get shot. You know, driving your car, driving while black, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, you gotta let these people know. I wish some of them could see this show, because you're not really escaping from nothing, because when you come here, you're going to go through the same thing. Because people get shot here, there's lawlessness here, there's corruption here. Everything that you have in your country, we have it here too. We have it here too. So don't think that you're escaping anything. Some people come here and they be like, oh, wait a minute. Okay. Shout out to my nephew. Shout out to my nephew, Charles Turner III, who says, I just think it's a bunch of rhetoric. They'd have to amend the 14th Amendment to do what Trump wants if they do that. Dems would call to amend the Second Amendment. We all know they won't do that. There's Mitch and Donna Glenn as well, but I'll address that first. My nephew says it's a bunch of rhetoric. You know, Charles, you know, Trump is playing up to his base. Okay. Because there's a lot of folks who the Trump supporters are folks who've been sitting around for years and couldn't say what they really wanted to say. Couldn't think, you know, when Obama was elected, you know, they were the next door neighbor liked the idea. So they couldn't say he was an N-word. You know, so there was folks that were sitting around for years who the Archie Bunkers of the world were sitting around for years in America and couldn't say what they really wanted to say because it wasn't fashionable. See, but now with white nationalism and all this other, and Trump and all these other people, you know, now it's okay to be a white nationalist. It's okay. Oh, it's cool, man. You know, I hate N-words and I hate Jews. I'm cool. You know, so it's okay now to do that. But I don't think it's a bunch of, is he playing to his base? Yes. If that's your point, if you call this rhetorical because Trump is playing it to his base, and yes, he is playing it to his base. Because there are people who approve of sending troops to the border to keep everybody out. There are folks who approve of that. I don't necessarily approve of that, but I think people should be kept out and they should be coming in the right way, no matter what they're trying to escape. Because as I said earlier, you come here, a lot of those people come here and get killed. You know, they get ground up in our system. They become grist for the mill. And they come to America and they get killed, carjacked or whatever the case may be. So you come here, it's going to be it's more sophisticated, but it still happens. Do every cop corruptible? No, but there are some who are. Can judges be bought here? Yes, they can. The right price. So whatever the folks are trying to escape from Guatemala or Nicaragua, whatever the case may be, we have that same stuff going on here. Poverty, the works. So to come here, you get ground up in the system. The Dems were called to amend the Second Amendment. I doubt that because there's too many people on both sides that want the Second Amendment, including myself. But I think that me, you know, as far as Second Amendment goes, me having a gun and can't take it outside, that's a problem because I don't need it in the house. It'd be a rare occasion. I mean, if somebody was to come in my house, I don't need it while I'm here. I need it when I go out in the street. So I doubt seriously that, shout out to Greg. What's up, Greg? I doubt seriously if the Democrats would pull back the Second Amendment, because the Second Amendment is something that everybody likes, including myself. I'll talk about the gun violence a little bit later on. Thank you to my nephew, Charles Turner III. Diana Glenn says, how did his in-laws get citizenship but others cannot get? He is an immigrant. All of his wives, except for the second wife, immigrants, different money for different folks. That's what it is, different money. Because once again, we forget about the money factor. The money, you know, rules this world. It's the root of all evil. And these folks, I'm sure there's folks who come in here who pay their way in. Yes, yes. You can pay your way into America. Yes, indeed. You know somebody who knows somebody. You can talk to somebody at ICE. That's what America is all about. Somebody who knows. You know somebody who knows somebody. You can get through this bad boy with no problem. You know somebody who knows somebody. America was founded on that. Not what you know. It's who you know. And in return, who knows you? And we all know that's what America is about. Diana Glenn says, is it true Trump is saying that white people have been wanting? Say, yes, he has. Yeah, that is so true that Trump. Yes, yes. The person you worry, the person you bump into, the person you might smoke a cigarette next to outside of the job. You know, the person might be in the next cubicle over. You know, the person you might bump into at the water cooler. You don't know what they might be thinking about. See, these are the folks who have been hiding in the shadows, Diana Glenn. These are folks that have been hiding in the shadows, But when Trump became president, they were set free. It was like their Emancipation Proclamation. When Trump came out and started talking all the nonsense and talking about he's a nationalist and all this stuff, they got bolder. I'm sure that the militias out in the middle of nowhere are out there training because they feel like they're going to have to come into the black community one day or the Jewish community. They're out there. They probably gain numbers too. So, yeah. So, shout out to Greg Jackson. Shout out to Wanda Woody Wilson. Hey, Wanda, how you doing? Yes, brother. Yes, yes. And anybody who wants, once again, it's a bow tie. Thank you, Greg Jackson, for the compliment. Anybody who wants a water, this is the Cowboys bow tie I wore last week. You can get your team, whoever your team is, even if you like the lowly Arizona Cardinals, you can get a bow tie, represent the lowly Arizona Cardinals, who are probably the worst team in football right now. Nope, there's a couple of them, the 49ers. And matter of fact, the ones who are playing tonight, the 49ers and the Raiders, are two of the worst teams in football. But you can get your bow tie. You just let me know. Hit me up. Y'all who know me, hit me up. If not, hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, whatever the case may be. Oh, y'all don't like Twitter for some reason. I don't see none of y'all on Twitter. Y'all don't like Twitter. But anyway, you can get your bow tie, whatever team you want, whatever pattern you want, whatever design you want. I know this brother who does this stuff. And because I know him, I get privilege. Check that out for this bow tie out, and it comes with a pocket square too, so you can have a bow tie on, and you got your tie, you can have a pocket square or hanky, whatever it is you want to stuff in there. So hit me up and I'll hit you back. All right, everybody, it's 15 minutes left. Oh man, I went over the time. They're gonna kill me. I went over the time. Let me take just a really quickie 2 second break, because I have to, and I'll come right back with more. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over. Welcome back. Welcome.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Thank you, my boy, Al Shaw. If you need any radio people, if you need anybody to do your stuff, Al Shaw, find Al Shaw on, you can find Al Shaw on Facebook. He's the velvety voice of Hot 105 in Miami. He does down there what Lenny Green does up here. And he's also a voiceover artist. So you check him out. Al Shaw, you can find him on Facebook. Does all my work until I graduated from broadcasting school. But anyway, everybody, it's about 15 minutes before the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. Shout out to Diana Watkins. It's Diana Glenn now. I knew Diana Watkins from the hood. It was so nice to see you a couple weeks ago, Diana Watkins. I love you. It was so nice to see you. My sister from way back when. We lived on the same block together. You're going back maybe 30 years at least. I don't want to date us like that, but we were young. We were very young back then too, so don't get it twisted. See, all of this is still black. See that? All of that? All of that. Okay. Anyway, it's a couple minutes before the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Catch the podcast if you missed tonight. If you want to tell somebody, tell a friend. Catch the podcast is blogtalkradio.com/The Ron Kelly Show. You can check out any show. There's about 100 and something shows in the archive. That's like 2 years, more than 2 years worth of shows in the archive for your listening pleasure. You can check that out. And for those of y'all on Twitter, now y'all don't mess with Twitter. That's right. Y'all don't mess around with Twitter. Anyway, it's 12 minutes and 40 hours. You know, I just want to talk a little bit about the Kroger shooting. And then now, you know, we had talked about, for peace be upon all the folks who, especially the ones in, I mean, I don't want to say especially, but the people in the synagogue, the folks who were sitting in the synagogue, and this hateful creature ran up in there and shot 11 people, mostly old people. You know, because young Jews are mostly non-practicing Jews. It's been my observation anyway, that most young Jews are non-practicing Jews. And so there were a lot of old folks. You find a lot of old folks in the synagogue. And this man walked into this place and killed 11 people, you know. And he lived. And see, that's one of the sticking points. That's one of the things that bother black folks, that these guys with guns go into these places, kill a bunch of people, and they are not killed, while black folks who are just driving down the block and minding their own business do get killed for doing nothing. This is one of the sticking points of black folks. See, this is why it's so important that black people did, and whites, we shouldn't, you know, just not talk about something because, you know, don't talk about that, you know. So just because you pretend that there's no racism doesn't mean that there is no racism. You can pretend all you want. I can pretend I'm wealthy, but I'm not. You know, I can pretend I got $1 million in the bank, but when I go online, look at my bank account, there is not $1 million in there. So, well, maybe there is. But you never know, do you? So, peace be upon those folks who lost their lives in the synagogue. And then the two folks in Kroger, in the Kroger supermarket. And see, and that thing could have been a lot worse had this man been able to get into the church. Because prior to the shooting, this man, Gregory A. Bush, 51-year-old white man, is accused of killing Maurice Stollard, who was 69, and Vicki Jones, who was 67. Now, they made it all that far, you know, through their lives, 69 years, 67 years. And they get killed inside the Jeffersontown grocery store and in the parking lot. I believe one was killed in the parking lot and one was killed inside the store. Prior to the shooting, it says that Bush allegedly tried to enter a predominantly black church nearby, but was unable to get inside, officials said. When that attempt failed, he went to the Kroger's instead and opened fire in the store. Now, they're saying that it appears as if it's a hate crime. Now, you see, this is what really pisses me off. Because what do you mean it appears to be? You have a white man with a gun who tried to get into a black church and shoot folks. When he could not get into that church, he went to the Kroger supermarket, found two black people, and killed them. And you mean to tell me that this is not a hate crime that you have to investigate? I mean, what the hell do you have to investigate? See, this is what gets on people's nerves. When when they went into the synagogue, boom, it was a hate crime. Boom, it's a hate crime. It's a crime against the elderly. It's this, it's that, the other. 44 counts. There's like four counts per person that was killed. 44 counts that this man, the killer, the synagogue killer, 44 counts. 44 counts. 44 crimes they found that this man had done. And the hate crime thing wasn't even investigated. It was a hate crime straight up. I mean, nobody investigated that. It was considered a hate crime. That's it. That's all. It was considered a hate crime. But now this here man, once again, is Gregory A. Bush, 51 years old, who tried to get into a black church, couldn't get in. And so he went to the Kroger because I guess he finds some of us there, which he did find these two unfortunate folks, and he killed both of them. Didn't know either one of them, had no prior connection with them, hadn't had an argument, wasn't fighting over a parking space or anything like that. He just pulled out his gun, and the first two black people he saw, he killed, two elderly folks, 169, 167. And you mean to tell me that you have to investigate this to be a hate crime? Now, the synagogue shooting, boom, hate crime. 44 counts. Now you have to investigate this. See, this is what pisses people off. See, this is what white folks need to know. This is what white folks in authority need to know. This is what pisses black people off. You know, why do you have to investigate this as a hate crime? It's a hate crime. I mean, walk like a duck and talk like a duck is a damn duck. And this is a hate crime. So don't give me that investigating as a hate crime. It's a hate crime. Dylan Roof blowing at a church in North Carolina and blowing it up. Hate crime. What do you have to investigate? It was a hate crime. Get me started. I'm already sweating with these hot lights and I had this tie on. I'll be taking it off as soon as I turn this TV off. Anyway, it's 6 minutes before the hour. Everybody, it's the Ron Kelly Show. And peace be upon those folks who passed away in the synagogue and the two folks who died in the Kroger's. Now, we're not trying to compare, but you know, but this is a hate crime. You kill those two black people is a hate crime, straight, plain and simple. Real quick, let me talk about what's going on in Georgia. What's going on in Georgia now? The Brian Kemp, who is the Secretary of State of Georgia, has been taking people off the rolls. So here's the deal. This is the race. Stacey Abrams, who is the black woman, the sister who's running for governor in the she's a Democrat and she's running for governor of Georgia. If she wins, she'd be the first. If she wins, she'd be the first black woman governor in the state, in the country, the first black woman governor in the country. She'd be the very first one. And she's running against the Secretary of State of Georgia, Brian Kemp. Now, you know, the Secretary of State controls the voting. The Secretary of State controls the voting. You see? And shout out to Anita Walker. So they have a zero match policy in Georgia. And what that means is, if your name is K-E-L-L, my last name is K-E-L-L-Y, but if I spell it K-E-L-L-E-Y, I'm out. The littlest thing, the slightest aberration, the slightest little thing can get you thrown off the voter rolls in Georgia. You see, and the problem with the race between the sister, Stacey Abrams, and white man, Brian Kemp, is that Brian Kemp is the Secretary of State. You know, the Secretary of State controls the voting in the state of Georgia. So 50,000 folks who had, let's say they lived at 121 First Street, but it said 120 First Street, boom, you're off. They have a zero policy. Everything has to be exactly right. Now, who do you think is more likely to make a mistake like that? Who do you think? So this man is controlling that section of the state. Shout out to Steve Mayran. Shout out to Anita Walker and everybody who's been, Greg Jackson, Wanda, my nephew Charles W. Turner III, all of y'all who came on to the Ron Kelly Show today. Appreciate you. But yeah, so we got the race and we got the midterms coming up. Everybody do please get out and vote. We only got a couple minutes left to the program. But we got the race between Stacey Abrams, who's the sister, running for governor in Georgia, versus Brian Kemp, white man, who is the Secretary of State of Georgia and who controls the voting situation in that state. And now he's thrown 50,000 people off the rolls, mostly minorities, because again, Georgia has a law that says if there's one thing off on your application, it gets thrown out. If one thing doesn't match, if you live at 124 East First Street and it says 124 West First Street, you're out. The slightest, everything has to be letter perfect. And that's why this is a problem over there. And see, the Secretary of State oversees all of that stuff. He oversees that, the Secretary of State. And it just so happens, the Secretary of State who oversees the voting is running for governor. And see, and there are stories about folks who were riding to the bus. Their buses were stopped and emptied because they were running to the they were going to register to vote or going to vote early. You see, so there's still a lot of stuff going on in America. People are like, oh, yeah, America this, America that. There's still a lot of stuff going on. There's still a lot of tomfoolery going on. There's still a lot of cheating. There's still a lot of this voter suppression going on in this country. Yes, there is, because that's a voter suppression tactic to make sure everything. I mean, nothing is exact. I mean, I look at my driver's license. They got everything wrong, you know. So if I – but now – So my point is that things do go wrong. The information isn't always presented the way it's supposed to be presented. But in Georgia, they have zero policy, zero mistake policy. So if one thing is slightly off by a millimeter, you're out. So you have the sister Stacey Abrams running against Brian Kemp, Secretary of State. Secretary of State controls the voting in Georgia. So we got some voter suppression going on right there. So folks in Georgia, I know there's some folks in Georgia who do listen to who might listen to the Ron Kelly Show. I got 90 seconds left. I guess y'all heard that. So we got that going on. So folks, so we have to realize that, yeah, we may have our Benzes and our Lexuses and stuff like that. We might have a nice home. We might have a decent job. But there's still a lot going on behind the scenes in America that needs to be straightened out. So those of you who will, you know, we need to get together and try to do something about this, try to fix some of the problems. Don't listen to folks who tell you, oh, you know, get over it. You know, nobody told the Jews to get over the Holocaust, and nobody's going to tell me to get over slavery. You know, I don't sit around and pout about it. I have plenty of friends who are white, you know, and we don't really talk about that kind of stuff. But, you know, we need to, you know, everything is not what it appears to be. And the Constitution is not what it appears to be. There's still a lot going on. There's still a lot of I's that are not dotted. There's a lot of T's that are not crossed. Anyway, I'm out of here. Get ready to go and relax. I got 30 seconds left of the program. So everybody, thank you so much for joining me. Everybody, all of y'all. I mean, there's so many people. There's too many people to name, all of y'all who continue to support the Ron Kelly Show. Appreciate you. So thank you for joining me. We'll see you back here next week. I can't believe it's 2018. Yeah. Steve, shout out to Susan Kirkland. All right, 10 seconds left. I'm out of here. See you back here next week with another edition of Ron Kelly Show. So until then, be nice to somebody, will you? Thank you.
Thank you.